It is very good to see you guys this morning. I can honestly tell you, this has been one of the most trying messages I've had to date to put together. Back in October, Beth and I were running at the Rails to Trails, and I just when I started running, I listen to Christian music when I run because I can't stand to hear myself breathing. So, because I sound so bad when I'm running. So I listen to Christian music, and right away, the message started coming to me, and I'm running. So it's about half an hour out and back that we run, and I had it all worked out. I was so fired up. I'm like, I got to do this. So when I was up here last, I told you guys I'd be here right before Thanksgiving, but due to other circumstances, Robert said, well, let's put it off. So, okay, so we did. So then it came time to start putting it together again. And I got to tell you, I mean, I know Robert's been up here telling you about everything that's been going on. But so right away, we go on a vacation, which I never go on that long. So we were gone 10 days, came back. I have all my job work to do. Well, we also were getting a new roof. It wasn't supposed to go on until March. So 2 days before they're ready to put it on, they said, hey, we want to start in 2 days. We weren't ready. Our water heater went out just like Robert's. Emily's water heater went out. I got a kidney stone. You ever had a kidney stone? It is no fun. And my heart rate would not go up. Of all things, of much pain as I was in, my heart rate was so low, they wouldn't give me anything for the kidney stone. So while I'm in pain, I'm also cramping up and tensing up for hours. It took them 4 hours before they finally would do anything, and then my back went out. So then they give me narcotics for my back pain. So it's been an absolute challenge getting to this week, because all this happened within the last 3 weeks. And this week, when I was putting this together Monday and Tuesday, trying to finalize it, I could not focus. I was being attacked in so many ways. So I'm glad I'm finally here. I'm hoping this comes out the way I want it to, because I am really fired up about this. I wasn't really that fired up this morning because I'm not as prepared as I usually like to be. But then I looked at the bulletin. I don't know if you guys have looked in the bulletin. Upcoming services. Have you guys looked? 317. Was St. Patrick an Eagles fan? Are you kidding me? So, I mean, I saw that. Well, that fired me up right away. I'm like, okay, now I'm ready. was St. Patrick an Eagles fan? I'm pretty sure we're running that day somewhere in another state. So you guys can let me know later if he's an Eagles fan or not. Anyway, so let me start with a joke. I love starting with a joke. So a kindergarten teacher was observing her classroom of children while they drew. She would occasionally walk around to see each child's artwork. As she got to the one little girl who was working diligently, she asked her what she was drawing. The girl replied, I'm drawing God. The teacher paused and said, but no one knows what God looks like. Without missing a beat or looking up from her drawing, the little girl replied, they will in a minute. So I love that. And so that's a question that all of us have, and we ask this a lot, of what does God look like? But another question that comes up a lot when I'm working with people and listening to news and things that I do is, what does God look like working in our lives? How is he working in our lives? What does that look like to people? Not just the physical appearance, but what does it look like? So what I want to do is I want to start with a video here. If you haven't seen the movie Facing the Giants, it is one of my favorites. It is a Christian movie. It is just an awesome watch of a movie. And in it, the main character, is a football coach, a school teacher, a husband. Everything is falling apart. They can't win a game. His car breaks down every time he goes to start it. They can't have children they've been trying for years. There's an awful stench in their house. And then he overhears the faculty getting ready to fire him because of lack of wins. So he is just at a loss for what to do. And it plays right into what I want to talk about today. So I want to show you this video. It takes about 2 minutes. If you haven't seen the movie, you will laugh and you will cry. It really is emotional. So, 2 Corinthians, I want to read you 4, verses 16 and 17. That is why we never give up, though our bodies are dying and our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So I have the privilege of working with a lot of people, a lot of young adults, a lot of the kids I coached when they were younger are now becoming adults. They're graduating, moving into their adult life. Some adults that I've met with, I love meeting with people. I love hearing their dreams. I love praying with them and finding out, you know, what it is that they're looking for in their life. And there was a study that was done by one of these colleges. I didn't write it down, but they asked so many thousands of people, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? 80% were made up of two questions. Why does God allow bad things to happen in the world? And why doesn't God allow my dreams to come true? There are two very different sermons. I am not talking today about why God allows bad things to happen in the world. I want to talk to him about your dreams and why you don't see God letting your dreams happen. So everyone out there has dreams or ambitions that they foresee for themselves. All of us have some kind of dream growing up. I know I did. I'm not talking about the kind of dreams that you do at night or, you know, wouldn't it be nice kind of dreams. I'm talking about the kind of dreams that keep you up at night, that keep you so motivated and so focused that you're so excited and anxious and you can't think. Your heart beats faster. That kind of dream. Everyone has them. Everyone has probably at one point had them. Dreams of getting married or starting a family or writing a book or getting published or being a public speaker, starting your own business. Whatever it is, you have a dream or you had one. For some people like me, I wanted to be a professional athlete. That's the truth. I really thought I was good enough. But that was early on in life. So that was my dream, because that was what my dad's dream was. It kind of trickled down to me, and it kind of went from there. But it's fun to dream, isn't it? I mean, it's fun to sit there and think about all these things you want. It's fun until these dreams are going nowhere. It's fun until you see somebody else living the dream that you envisioned for yourself. So basically, it's fun until it's not fun anymore. Becomes more of a hardship. I think all of us have been told at times, you know, to never give up on your dreams. We can accomplish anything we want if we put our mind to it. If you want it badly enough, we can make it happen. We've all heard these things. We've been told that we have the power to make all of our dreams come true, that we have the power. Christians even believe this. But there does come a point when we are faced with the very real possibility that the dreams that we had for ourselves won't come true. And why is that? Well, it's because our dreams and God's plans for us are not the same. Sometimes they are, but it doesn't mean that's always the way it is. So God has plans for you. Just because his plans aren't the same or in line with your dreams doesn't mean he doesn't care about you or doesn't love you. But they are our dreams, and we have them, and they're important to us. But for many of us, when our dreams do come true, they're not exactly what we had envisioned when you look back. It's not the vision you had exactly had. So when disappointments in the form of unfulfilled dreams come our way, we should thank God for what he has done for us instead of asking why. Isaiah 55:9, the Lord said to Isaiah, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So aside from being a pro baseball player, I always wanted a family. I grew up in a broken family, so I always wanted a family. I wanted a wife and I wanted kids. So thankfully, the Lord led me to Beth. As Beth and I were getting married, I think the week of, she said, "I want kids." But before, she didn't want kids. So the week of, she said, "I think we should start a family." Okay. So we didn't waste any time. Almost 9 months to the day of our wedding, Emily was born. And we were thrilled. So we had Emily, and a couple years later, I had always wanted at least two, and I always wanted a son. And my brother and I think I've shared, we're the last Roberts, and he didn't have a son either. So I wanted to try at least one more time to see if I could have a son. And so Beth gets pregnant, and I may have shared this before, but we go into a doctor's appointment, and we had to meet a new doctor every time because of the health insurance we were on. This doctor we've never met before came in, sat down, and he said, okay, so you had your Down syndrome counseling, correct? And we were like, what do you mean? Well, here, Beth's blood work came back that it was very possible that Austin had Down syndrome. And it's quite a shock to your system at when you first hear that, because it's not obviously something you dream about that you thought was going to be in your future. So I wanted a son, and there was a possibility I was going to get a son, but with something we had to deal with Down syndrome. So, you know, we had a long week. We did what we could to get through, and we found out, that's how we found out that we were having a son. At the time, we didn't know, but because of the tests they did, they were like, okay, he's fine. Okay, we're having a boy. So we found out that we're having a boy. But here's why I chose this topic. There are too many kids that are becoming adults that I know of that their dreams aren't coming true right now. And it's hard for me to see that. It's hard for me to, I feel for them. In my family in particular, the women are there. We have a lot of females in my family, a lot. Until Austin was born, it was all girls. And so three of them are unable to have babies. And they were trying and trying and trying. When I met with my niece just recently, it's been 4 or 5 years that she's been trying. I had another niece that she finally had it done. I think it's called in vitro. And Emily's. Emily wants to have a baby. And so I see the hope and the fears and their faith in God being pushed down. And it's hard for me. And then Trent got up here and did his last sermon, and he talked about how him and Emily, how they decided to adopt the first time. And Emily had put all of this onto him and said, we're going to let God decide. Because Trent didn't want, if you remember the story, Trent wasn't sure that he wanted to adopt. Emily really wanted to adopt, if you remember this story. So Emily understood. Trent said he wanted to pray about it. And they put it in God's hands. And Trent had come back and decided, okay, God has, that we're going to adopt. And so I'm sitting there, and I know the kind of Christians they are, and I'm not questioning them at all. And I'm sitting there, and the first thing I wonder is, had Trent come back and said, I don't want to adopt, as much as we know Emily loves children, as much as she wanted it, how would that have affected her? Now, I know how it would have affected her. I'm sure you guys all do, too, but there are people out there that put so much stock into their dreams not coming true, and they need someone to blame. So that's where they go. So between their story, our story, everyone knows Austin's story. We thought he was on a trajectory to play at least college baseball. 7 knee surgeries in 4 years took that away. So, I mean, I see these things. And one of the hardest conversations I've had recently was with Austin. If you know Austin, you know he's into fishing, hunting now, just so many things. And it's just the two of us one day. He gave me permission to say this. He has been trying so hard to fill that void from the pain and the injuries that he has from not being able to play baseball. He loved it that much that he's been just doing all these things. And believe me, when he gets into it, he gets into it. So we've got about 50 fishing rods. He's got every hunting thing you could possibly need. For a 20-year-old boy, he is well geared up for anything he needs to do. But he confessed to me, and I didn't ask. He confessed. It's because he's trying to replace that hole, that thrill that he had for that dream that he had. So that's why I wanted to do this sermon. So with that in mind, I have to ask myself and all of you a very serious question, and I want the youth and the young adults to really hear this question is, will you still love God? I mean, it is a legitimate question. And I know that most people are going to say, yes, but will you really? When one day you're faced with the fact and the conclusion that your dreams are not going to happen, how should we react? Should we look for blame? Everyone knows in society today we look for blame first, right? Everything we do. That's the worst thing about, I can't stand it, my job. Anything that happens at all, we got to point the finger. Before we even solve the problem, it's got to be who's to blame. So do we look for blame? Should we get mad and be angry at the world? Should we go into some kind of depression and just shut everything out in our lives and just be like, what's it matter? Life isn't that important anyway. Well, Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. See, it takes a certain level of maturity and a strong level of faith in God every day to really accept that God is in control, doesn't it? You have to have that faith that God is in control. He isn't causing bad things to happen to us or purposely keeping us from our dreams. So having a mindset that God doesn't love you, God doesn't care about your dreams, is punishing you for past sins, I've heard that one a lot, doesn't care about you as much as someone else who seems to get everything. I've heard people do that a lot. Doesn't care about your happiness, okay, and so on. These will only keep you from seeing how much God truly loves you. And it's going to keep you at a distance from having that relationship with God that he really wants with you. So I can honestly say that growing up, I was an angry kid. My dad left when I was two. My mom was never around. I was cooking my own meals between 8 and 9 years old. I was doing my own thing. I was left to my own accord for a lot of my life. So things that I wanted, things that I had friends going on trips. We never went on vacation. I mean, we just couldn't afford it. So I was angry, and I blamed my parents, both of them, because of the way things were. But here's the thing. I never stopped loving them. They were still my mom and dad, and I loved them dearly. So as angry as I was and as much as I wanted to blame something, and I did with them, I still loved them. I talked with one lady one day who was so upset with the way her mom is, in her older life, that she's made life miserable for everybody. And she said, oh, I can't wait for her to die. And when she dies, I'm not even going to cry at her funeral. Well, I can tell you, when her mom did die, she cried before the funeral, she cried during the funeral, and she cried for weeks after the funeral. Because she didn't mean it. She loves her mom. Okay? She was just frustrated. So, it's called unconditional love. And that's what we have. Best brother Tom, he started early in life being a problem as a teenager. Cops were coming to his house all the time, coming to the house. He got hooked on drugs. He had stolen things. He did armed robbery. He would beat his mom up when the dad wasn't around because he needed drug money. He wasn't at Beth's wedding. He was supposed to be in it and didn't show up that day. He was supposed to be a pallbearer at a funeral, didn't show up that day. He would disappear for weeks on end, years. We didn't see him. But when he showed up, man, they rolled out the red carpet. Man, they loved him. They would make sure he got his favorite meal without question. Anything Tom wanted, Tom got. They just loved him so unconditionally and so much. No matter what he put him through, they just loved him. And yeah, it drove the rest of us nuts. Because we're here helping you. We're waiting on you hand and foot. He shows up, he gets a favorite meal. You know, but that's how much they love Tom. And so the point is, see, our parents are flawed. We're flawed. Things are going to happen, but God is not flawed. He's not flawed. He loves you. And you know how I know he loves you? It's because all you have to do, if you don't know the Bible at all, for any of you younger ones or people still searching, if you don't know the Bible at all and you want to know if God loves you, go right away to the story of how God sent his son to die for you. Okay? He didn't have to do that. He sent his son down here to be beaten, flesh torn from his body, crucified, everything, just for the love, because he loves you that much that he would send his son to die for you. Okay, if you know nothing else, that should be enough. That should be all you need to know about God's love for you. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So God wants great things for you. Not loving God because your dreams haven't come true shows a complete lack of faith in God. Okay, you cannot have conditional faith. You cannot say, God, if you give me this, I'll love you. If you do this, I'll follow you. If you do this, then I'll go to church Sunday or I'll go visit. I mean, you can't do that with God, okay? It cannot be conditional. If you either love him and have faith in him or you don't. It cannot be a conditional type of faith. It's really easy to be in a good mood and happy and love everybody when everything's going your way, isn't it? It's real easy. You know, if your business has worked out, you got tons of money, you got a great family, you see it growing all the time, your cars are running great. It's real easy to be in a good mood and love everybody. But where are you when things aren't so easy? When things are falling apart, or when you realize your dreams aren't coming true? So there's two questions you can ask yourself. Do you see your dreams not coming true primarily as why God is not allowing your dreams to come true, but he has blessed others less deserving with your team? So it's God not allowing your dreams to come true, but he's blessing others with your dreams. Or do you see your problems primarily as your heavenly Father being up to something profound in your life? What kind of mindset do you have? Okay, you can't have both of these mindsets. One of these has to have ownership in your heart. Okay? If you were a problem-centered and can only think about the sadness you have over the realization your dream may not come true, you will miss the truth of a kind Father working in your life. Okay? If all you can see is your own plight and your own sadness, you're going to miss God's love. You're going to miss how much he truly loves you. Okay, but if you primarily see the reason stuff happening to you as part of God's story that he is writing for his glory, you will be right in line with his thinking. This perspective will also position you to receive amazing grace that will assist you in getting through your ordeal. Okay, so have the mindset that God's doing amazing things for you. Ask God, look to God for his guidance. Okay. Psalm 37:4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. What that means is this: if you take delight in the Lord, your heart's desires will come God's desires, okay? You understand that? Your heart's desire, by taking delight in the Lord, all of a sudden you're opening yourself up to the Lord's desires for you. So look at the verse differently than just how it's written. Okay, opening your heart up to the Lord, and you will see his desires for you. Your heart's perspective about the Lord will set your life's trajectory. Jesus had a higher and greater worldview than just his life. He had a vision for a great ending, which gave him the amazing amount of strength and courage and faith he would need for the suffering he went through. Jesus believed his Father was and willing to come to earth to endure harsh sufferings because he knew there was a greater good. Do you believe in God? More than likely, you're going to say yes, which you should. I understand that. But a more in-depth question. I'm talking about a faith that transcends your pain. Okay, do you have a faith that transcends your pain about your dreams not coming true and your suffering? I'm talking about an enduring faith, not a Sunday school faith, not a fleeting kind of faith because things are good right now, but when they aren't, my faith wavers a little bit. The only thing that will give you the power to endure these kinds of trials is a kind of faith in God. It's an enduring faith in God. Only God can sustain you through your trials. Okay, your job is to believe in him. Have faith. You must know that he is working for you even when you can't see him. That's having faith. You must be confident that he will not ultimately let you down. That's having faith. And finally, you must hope that no matter what comes your way, God is there and he is working it out a better future for you. What is that? You guys can say it with me. It's having faith, okay? This confidence is the kind of faith I'm talking about. It's faith in God alone, okay? It's faith alone in God alone that you need to have. So With that being said, I want to show you the rest of the way how this works out. This is later in the movie. It doesn't show you the ending. It's going to be a cliffhanger. But I want to show you the clip. After he asked his wife, "Will you still love him?" I want you to see her response. The movie. If you're a big burly guy and you don't like people to see you cry, don't watch it with someone else. I did actually, before Tom passed away, we watched it with Tom. We took him in for a little bit in his last couple of days when he was dealing with cancer, and we watched that movie with him. Tom's a big, strong, burly guy, and he's watching this movie, and he sees this scene. It's hard not to cry. I'm an emotional guy anyway. No joke. But he's sitting there trying not to cry, and he yells at me and Beth for showing him this movie, for making him cry. But if you want to see how it ends, watch the movie. So you may not get your self-defined best life now, okay? But if you rightly position your faith in God, you can have a surprising and satisfying experience, okay? I encourage you to have dreams. Strive to make them happen. Okay, this isn't one of those, I'm not telling you not to have dreams. I'm not telling you not to want things and to go for what your heart's desires are. What I'm asking you to do is pray to God for his vision, for your dream and for his dream, and for faithfulness in the direction the Lord is taking you. Ask the Lord for his guidance, and you won't be so disappointed. Okay? It is really hard to not have your dreams come true. I know that. You know that. We've all seen that happen. I'll be honest with you guys. There comes a point. Every one of us hangs on a little bit too long. I can tell you guys right now, if I'm 50, like I'm 50 right now, spring training's happening right now. If any of you see me packing a bag to see if I can still make a baseball team, I hope one of you tells me, "Hey, Keith, it's just not going to happen, man. You got to give it up." Okay, some people hang on a little bit too long. So what I want to challenge is, first of all, for the young adults, for those of you that are still dreaming, still trying to make your dreams come true, is first of all to have the faith in God and ask for his guidance. Ask for him to let you know what his purpose for you and your life is and be open to it. Open yourself up to what God's telling you. Look for that. You won't be so disappointed or crushed. But for those of us my age, older, maybe you work with the young adults or the youth group, maybe you have children, grandchildren, you're just in a position like I did with the baseball team, don't crush kids' dreams. Don't crush what they want in life. I'm not telling you to do that, okay? Guide them. Be a mentor to them. Help them to look at things the way they need to through God's eyes. Ask them to give it to the Lord in prayer and see if that's that God's vision for them too. Okay, don't crush them. When your kid gets to be 20 and maybe he's still trying to do something that you don't see happening, don't crush him. That just hurts. And don't just say, well, it may, you know, you can find a way to say it may not happen. But, you know, give it to the Lord. Pray to God. Okay? So I challenge you to do that. Find a way to encourage their dreams. Help them, we want to see them striving for things. We absolutely do. We don't want everyone to be complacent and not try to make their dreams come true. But what I'm asking you is, if God doesn't give you that family that you want, so many people want to find true love. That's why there's so many dating websites out there. And they put themselves in harm's way through these dangerous sites sometimes to find true love. People want children, and it is so hard if you know someone that wants a child and they can't have it yet. It's so hard to keep finding ways to keep them positive. There's so many examples. Maybe you had a lifelong ambition for a career that's just not going to happen. I mean, when I wasn't going to be I'll be honest, I was going to go in the military. And if I couldn't be a baseball player, I was gonna go in the military. I broke my back. It changed everything. Everything I had plans to do got changed. You know what? And here I am, as faithful as ever. Never thought I'd be up here giving sermons. Never thought I'd be a deacon to people. Never thought I'd be counseling people. But you know what? I'm a much better baseball coach than I ever was a player. And I never would have said that. But those that can do, those that can't teach, that's kind of where I'm at with it. So your dreams can come true. They just not be like, might not be the way you see them happening. So take joy in where God has you at all times, no matter what dreams have been fostered within your hungry heart, whatever goals you have for your future. Trust in the Lord that he has good plans for your life. Lay these dreams at your Father's feet and wait to see what he will do as you ask for his direction and will to be revealed. He may lead you into something that you could never have foreseen or conjured in your wildest imagination, kind of like me being up here. At 30 years old, I would have said there's not a chance I'd be up on this stage. But I hope you got something out of that. I hope that it reached some people with dreams. I hope people that understand, that are out there right now struggling with why things aren't coming true, put your faith in God. I can't stress it enough. Okay, God is the answer. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, I want to lift this all up to you. And Lord, you've been in the conversations I've had. You've led me through these conversations. You've heard people's cries, their pleas, their questions as to why dreams aren't happening for them. Lord, I just want to lift them to you. I want to encourage them all to just seek you, ask for you to reveal your plan in their lives. Be with them. Help them to know. Help them to feel your love, see your love. We know you're an awesome and great God, and we know that you're not causing bad things to happen. We know that you're not purposely not letting dreams happen. That's just not what you are. You're all about love, and we love that. We thank you so much for your son and the sacrifice that you went through and for that he went through to come down here to die for our sins. You showed your love to us, and that's all we wanted. We should just give it back. We just need to have faith in you, Lord. And I just ask that that's what everyone out there is dealing with right now. If anyone is searching, questioning, doesn't have that faith, I just hope that they realize where their true faith should be, where their true salvation lies, and that they give that up to you, Lord. Lord, again, this church is so blessed. I thank you for the church. I thank you for the youth, the young adults, the people that are leading them, for the older congregation. Anytime that we can have a chance to meet with them and talk with people and help them to stay on the path of their dreams, but do it through you, that's what I want for everybody here, Lord. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.